Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, author, artist, and educator, Annika Paris.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Everett Coast. I am Mark Lejeune, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Well, here I was at Tess Cacciatore's house at her birthday. Now, Tess Cacciatore is going to be our guest next week, but she introduced me to Annika Paris at her party months and months ago. And right away, we connected on a conversation that I love having. And interestingly enough, lately, I've been having a lot with my one-on-one life coaching clients. Here's an example. So at one of the recalibration events weekends, one of the attendees came up to me after the recalibration and said she wanted to work with me because she wanted to learn how to do what I do. And I said, what is it that I do that you want to learn how to do? And she said, stand up in front of people, present like that and be professional, et cetera, et cetera. And come across this way and that way. Now, having worked with her the whole weekend over the recalibration, I said, oh, yeah, I could help you with that. And she smiled and I said, but I won't. And she said, I'm sorry. And I said, a lot of people could help you with those kinds of tools. I said, however, you have the benefit here of a life coach who can work with you, should you choose to work with him, on who you are, on what you're actually going to say, and why you feel the need to say it in front of people or in front of groups or to other people. And I said, after you know all of that, then we can work on the tools of how you could better present the information, or you might actually not need them. Because when people speak from the heart, when people know who they are and they speak with passion about something that they're really interested in, other people tend to listen. Because it's a kind of thing that is magnetic. We see so little of it in this world and in our civilization and on TV and at workshops and all kinds of places where we see this kind of thing. So I said, yes, I could teach you the tools, but I'd be doing you a disservice because you have something to say. And so finding out why you need to say it, who you are and what it means to you, and finding your passion, you might not even need the tools. And so this is a time, I think, and the fact that right away I connected with Annika on this, with, we'll talk about a little later, with what she does with her students on making your mark, when she helps students know what they're going to sing about, right? So she's doing it on the singing end. I'm doing it on the life coaching end and the life end, but it's all the same thing. It's why are we here? What are we saying? And unfortunately, we've had enough of the other stuff. It's time for more of this. And we're going to get more of this when we come back with Annika Paris and a little later on talk about they know what they're saying. Danny Byrne and Josh Misko with Everett Coast, or as Everett Coast, will be performing live on the Life Changes Show right here. Stay with us when we come back right after this.
Listening to the Life Changes Show live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark, and this is the Life Changes Show. And
you look surprised. I'm still waiting to find out what your client said when you told her that you were going to help her with her speaking.
I she's been working with me now for 5 weeks, so
I'm sure it's a happy and nowhere near the ending yet.
It's a beautiful thing so far. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
You know, again, perfect example of why we're here to cross over that the recalibration with all these areas of art and music and education. And I'm really excited for Annika's conversation today.
Yes, me too, actually. Well, she's an artist, she's an author, she's an educator. You know, she's one of these women who has achieved so much and been successful at so many things. So already she's an example just in her beingness. But thankfully, she not only teaches how she bees, but she writes about... She writes about how she bees. Let's see. I'll say a little bit more. CRIA double platinum singer, songwriter, ASCAP's Abe Ulman Scholarship and Plus Award winner, adjunct professor at Musicians Institute, UCLA's Creative Arts Studies Extension, lecturer at the Grammy, USC, and author. Okay, we get the idea. Ladies and gentlemen, Annika Paris.
Hi.
Hi again.
It's great to be here.
What a pleasure it is always to talk with you. And we seem not to be able to stop when we start, but we do have a time limit. So go.
Oh, okay. What do you want me to talk about?
Well, I you were nodding your head during the monologue and connecting your
memory. Well, that's true. The monologue, wow, you hit every point that I believe is a philosophy of teaching and a philosophy of being an artist. And when you talked about people have to do their homework and understand who they are, you know, I think underneath it all, we all want to have meaning in life. We want to say, I was here, my life meant something. People, they literally graffiti their girlfriend and boyfriend's names in the heart. You know, we want to leave a mark, as you said, making your mark. Mm. And I think with artistry, it's about a legacy. It might be with children, but with music, it's usually about leaving something that means something to the world. And in order to do that, you really have to know who you are before you even begin. And I think that's the problem. We don't have a lot of development in the world for anything. It's a very end result driven world. And the work that has to go into getting there is lost. And that happens a lot with people in the music industry. Mm. They sort of say, I want to be a musician. I want to be a singer. I want to get up on stage and sing. And my first question is, why?
Mm, nice.
Why? And if you say to me, I want to be famous, I'm like, hogwash, leave. Mm. Because people have no concept of how much work goes into it. And it's a lifetime worth of work. The second thing I ask is, what do you want to say? Mm. Because people don't have any idea of what they really want to sing about. And then what of yourself are you going to bring to the table when you get on stage? What are you sharing with us? What is organically part of who you are in life that you can bring to the table and express that through music?
So you don't encourage them to say, I'm going to be the next American Idol?
No. No. I mean, it would be, I've had a lot of, you know, people that went on to have successful careers, including Everett Coast, but I don't think that should be the reason behind
driver,
it.
Sure.
I think that's you're setting yourself up for failure. And the idea really is to be a working musician, to have a life in music. And it's going to change. We're ephemeral. It's never going to be this one little thing of, oh, I'm in this perfect box and I'm going to be this pop star, this R&B star, this rock star. You know, we're going to change as we age. We're going to change with each generation. And you have to be willing to move and be flexible and smart. But in doing all that, what's the undercurrent? What's the core? It's who
right.
you are.
Fantastic.
Interestingly enough, you said you're setting yourself up for failure. Technically, one would be setting themselves up for failure whether they quote unquote become famous or not, because chances are it's going to be not, and in which case it could be a failure and devastating. And if they become famous and then they realize that the fame isn't giving them what they thought they would get from it, then that could be a whole let down as well. But let's talk about where you started, because you started in fame in the sense that it was all around you, because your parents were very much involved in music and with famous people. So what was that experience like for you?
It was intimidating.
Huh?
It was, it's inspiring, but also very intimidating. My father's a classical conductor, and we had you know, Leonard Bernstein, Yo-Yo Ma, all these famous people in the classical world, which is so disciplined, and it's very difficult to achieve fame on that level. And so as much as I would look at him and I would aspire to do it, I also had an ethic of perfection that was very hard to achieve, you know, and playing the piano and doing juries and taking ballet classes. And I loved that my work ethic was strong, but I also doubted myself a lot, you know. As far as like being in the classical world, it wasn't until I started writing and expressing my own desire, my own need, that I found strength, which is interesting.
You know, not, it's not only interesting, but it really resonates with me. I actually had a moment where I was performing a Leonard Bernstein work as a choral singer as a child for him. But during that whole episode, I was guided away from my individuality and my passion for music because of the choral group I was with was so driven for the discipline. So exactly what you're talking about was what I didn't have to carry me forward. So I kind of got away from music and singing and lost the passion for it.
Wow. What was the piece, may I ask?
Chichester Psalms.
Oh, wow. How about that? Look at this.
Look at this.
I mean, total connection.
We've connected.
We have connected.
Obviously. And there's so much more we need to talk about because this is the kind of information, you know, it's interesting. I can't say this to you. Like, I don't like it when people say this to me, but people say what you're doing is you're doing the work of an elder. You know, the wise elder. And that's what people say to me. And I'm like, I don't feel like an elder because an elder is supposed to have gray hair and be, you know, crotchety or whatever and have all this wisdom. So people used to go to the wise one. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to the industry, I remember you saying, in a sense, you wish you had somebody guiding you, even though you were surrounded by all this fame, guiding you at the time saying, well, it doesn't just happen like that, or that's not what you go on from there. Tell us.
Well, it's important to have a mentor who's there for you. You know, I wish I had me at the time. Let me go into the contemporary world because this is where it fits into play for me. Every business, CEOs, you can shadow a CEO, or if you want to be a doctor, you're going to go and do your trials in the hospital. Whatever it is that your career you're choosing, you can very easily have a mentor or somebody guiding you. My family was so busy, there wasn't really time, not in a bad way, but I was a kid. So when I got into the contemporary world, I had to kind of find it on my own. I had to go on tour and make all the mistakes. You know, there wasn't really anything in the contemporary world of music to guide an artist, a songwriter. There's not anything that teaches you how to write music or teaches you how to become an artist and get up on the stage. So I wish I had me when I started. And that was really kind of how I ended up doing what I do, is because, and it was a fluke, but I figured, let me give back what no one gave to me.
That's fantastic. And
let me help them go through this, because I've been there, literally. I've been through it all, the ups, the downs, and the in-betweens, you know, so.
And had you might be doing something else now, and other artists wouldn't have what you're giving.
Well, here's the truth. We need to be given permission. I say that to every student. You need to be given, I give you permission to do what it is you want to do, because I think there's an inner critic. We're the worst critics on ourselves. I always like say, write a letter to your critic if it's coming out. But really, once you start working with someone and you give them the stage, the arena, or the writing page to explore, and you give them permission and the support, as well as giving them guidance, I think they flourish. And that's the thing that we need more than anything else as artists, is permission to express and to be fearless and to just do it regardless.
Love that.
Well, when we come back, I want to know more about that. This permission, in a sense, also they have to find it within themselves. And so you ask questions like, who are you in real life?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good one. I like that. How you see yourself versus how others see you.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark, this is just like right out of the recalibration. We're going to need to talk with her after the show. But this is awesome. So we're going to talk about that when we come back, and a little later on. Everett Coast live here in the studio. So all that on the Life Changes show right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him, then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow. The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio and sitting here with Mark Leger, and we're talking with Annika Paris.
Annika, it's Annika.
Annika, I said it right.
It was just a test.
You know what? Actually, because my mind went to, I wanted to mention the book. So I'm sitting here holding Five Star Music Maker, the Independent Artist's Guide for Singers, Songwriters, Bands, Producers, and Self-Publishers. There's Woven Voices. Oh, this is like this is the poems, right?
The three generations of. Yeah.
How do you say that? Puerto Rican poets?
Correct.
Are you Puerto Rican?
I am.
You are?
Yes.
Wow. And then we've got Making Your Mark in Music, Stage Performance Secrets, Behind the Scenes of Artist Developments. You talk about that as saying this is like trailing an artist. Like you can't trail Sting or anybody. But if you could, this is what you'd learn, right?
Yeah, it's all from an artistic development perspective. It allows you to kind of go through the steps of what you need to do to achieve your goals. And it's fun. I mean, I think it's pretty fascinating. It's endless. I want to write like 10 more books. There's so much of it.
Because it just gets deeper and deeper.
It
and
does.
Especially nowadays, there's so much more you can do with it. So let's talk about this. You call it the essence game?
Yeah, we play the essence game.
Okay, let's play.
Let's
not play it.
We can't play it now. But here's the first... The class that I have when I do the artist development classes, I bring everybody in the very first day. Nobody knows each other. And I say, okay, we're going to play the essence game. They're like, what's that? So I put them in a chair on the stage and I have them not do anything, just sit there. And then I ask the class to help me define, you know, characteristics about this person just by looking at their physical being and their, you know, how they stand, how they sit, what have you. And so I will say, okay, if Filippo were in a train station, would you approach him and ask him for directions? Be honest. And they'll say yes or no.
Would you date him?
Would you date him? That's absolutely. And then I'll ask questions like, if you look at Filippo, what is the first thing you see? What's his physical attribute? They might say hair, eyes. And then I'll say, does he seem like a smart person, an intelligent person, a quiet person? We go through all these different essences of your being from you just sitting there.
I love it.
And what happens is what's fascinating, because we have an internal dialogue that's completely different than the external dialogue and have very often miscalculated what people are thinking of us.
Yes.
And so it really helps to have, you know, at the end, they're like, what? We'll say, what kind of animal would they be? What color would they be? What kind of aura are they giving off? Blah, blah, blah. At the very end, they are really fascinated by it. And I say, now that you see what people see of you, utilize those characters and bring them to the stage.
Mm.
Make that part of your, you know, tapestry and performance. And then we'll talk about, you know, other means of stage personas that they can take on. But it's very fun and it's, they love it. And I think a lot of people learn a lot about themselves.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
Yeah. Like, let's look at Mark. Is he the friend, the partier, the joker, the outcast? No. Okay. Anyway, but those are some of the questions.
I would
right?
say the intellect.
No.
Must be the glasses.
I think it's, yeah.
How about now?
The thinker.
How about now? How about now? You know, that is fascinating. And if people don't see what they expect to see, or if what you show them on stage is so different that it clashes or something, it causes a problem in people's minds and they don't know what to do with it, so they don't come to hear you, kind of thing,
well,
right?
We can read phoniness.
And that.
Or fear. But right. There's one, I want to make one exception. There are some people who do alter ego.
They do what?
An alter ego on stage.
Lady Gaga. Oh, they turn into somebody.
Lady Gaga or David Bowie.
That's reality television.
You know. Yeah. Well, they bring on a persona and they sing and perform through the persona, as opposed to being like a singer songwriter is kind of like a friend who's in your living room. Someone who does rap or country or maybe spoken word is more a cultural musician. They're going to talk about societal issues a lot more. So the style of music and the way that you actually perform it also is going to vary depending on each individual person.
People didn't always used to see phoniness. I think we're just seeing it more and more. We're either becoming more in tune or more discerning, or we've just seen so much.
I'll tell you why.
You tell me why.
This is my philosophy. I'm going to tell
you.
I was
hoping exactly. You would.
Well, I think things feel forced. We're in a world where everything needs to be documented. You know, we're filming, we're taping, everything is documented. And when it comes to music, it's ephemeral. I mean, it's supposed to not always be captured in a box and then analyzed and critiqued. Mm. It's supposed to just exist. And I think that we are in this place where we want to have everything at our, you know, ability to play it back, to look at it again. And that's a problem because then every moment is recorded and then it feels forced. People feel like they have to be on all the time.
Oh, let's talk about that. On and off. Let's talk about on and off.
Okay. Well, on is when you're on stage.
Are you on right now?
Of course I'm on. Okay. Of course I'm on. I'm here trying to entertain and educate and have a good time. But yeah, well, we do have an on and off switch. I perform every day of my life. When I get up and I go out, I get dressed, I put my outfits on, I go to meet people, I have a certain personality. Hi, how are you? I'm on. You know, my off switch would be I'm at home, I'm looking on the internet, or I'm reading
in
a book.
In your bunny slippers.
Yeah, all cozy.
You're right. There's very little room for the on or off nowadays. Even your, you know, all your searches, you can be online thinking you're on home and all of your, you know, web searches are followed and documented somewhere.
You're right.
It's like every move is watched now or observed or indexed.
Yeah. So I think we should unplug.
Oh.
To be a writer, so I'll go to the writing side of it.
There you go.
We have to unplug. You have to find quiet and rest to understand what you want to write about. And there's just so many distractions. It's very hard for people to tune in to what they want to say. Speaking about knowing who you are and what you want to say.
Yeah, that's a great line right there. Unplug and tune in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I have exercises in the book too, which are really fun.
Like what?
I make you
literally
go,
unplug.
Literally unplug. You have to go on a technology fast.
Oh.
I fail it every time.
How long?
Well,
5 minutes.
Try 3 hours.
3 hours.
Try it. It's really tough.
I could do it.
Okay.
So it's a matter of being with yourself.
Well, it's a matter of being with yourself and being with the world. You have to observe what's going on around you. For example, I'm half the time not paying attention. If someone asked me to identify someone in a lineup, I'd probably be like, huh? Because I'm not really paying attention. So it's about being able to pay attention and really observe what's around you, as well as understanding how you feel about what you're witnessing. We become desensitized. There's so much of it. And there is an unrest but we don't really comment on it. We don't really, you were talking about that before.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm recalling my monologue here. Is you can teach the tools of songwriting, and I know you do on some level. Like a song has this structure, and the sure. chorus should come within the first 30 seconds, and all that good stuff that we're used to hearing, and what have you, whatever seems to work these days if you want to sell a song. But you're saying, go deep, go inside. Figure you out so that when you come out with something,
it's unique.
It's right.
And it's you instead of being McDonald's.
Like who?
McDonald's restaurant. Don't be a franchise. I don't even like McDonald's. But the point is not to be, you know, not to be a franchise or a copycat of someone else. And it's not easy. I'm not saying, you know, that that's an easy thing to do, but to find some element of your own voice, your own sound, and your own artistic signature in what you're doing. And that's going to come, again, from really knowing what you want to say.
Now, you've had students from all over the world, all over.
Yeah.
What are you finding that is the common thing that they have issue with?
Well, they all want to express themselves and they want to get better on stage. Everybody does, which is only time can do that. A lot of it is just, you know, paying your dues. But I found interesting that they want to come to America and be Americanized. And I'm like, no, I don't want that at all for you. And I'm telling you why, because we need to become more globally aware. So I had a student, Rhea, she's from Ghana. Wonderful. I'm working with her now. We have a show coming up in 6 weeks. And we're talking about putting all the rhythms in from her home place of Ghana. I had another student, Umar Durrani, who's from Pakistan. And I had him sing in Uder. Is that what it's called?
Don't ask me. I don't know.
Yes, he sang in his native language in his music, which was wonderful.
Erdu.
And then I had another student, Devmo, who's a redheaded, freckled Irish Jew rapper. I mean, so, wow. And we had a lot of interpretive dance in her work. So I try to push the envelope because I think music and art is, you know, there's a reason for it. We need to culturally unite and we need to bond. And that's, you know, what part of it is escapism? There is definitely that. But then what part of it do we have a responsibility to, you know, make statements or social issues and bring things to our
interesting
awareness?
Yeah, I do want to talk about that, art and social responsibility when we come back, actually. And also, you actually introduced.
Yes. Our,
yeah, look,
I'm so excited.
You could tell you felt that in the core because not only did. Okay, so they were in separate classes.
Yes.
And we were going to talk about this later, but you got so excited. I was about to go on a break.
Well, they're two
she
of
got
my
so excited.
People.
I didn't want to ruin the moment here. They're two of your favorite people. Okay.
Yes,
they were in two separate classes.
Yes. I was teaching Danny in one class and I was teaching Josh in another, and they both sang for me and played their music. I was like, oh my God, you have to meet each other.
And not only did they meet.
Oh my God, they're amazing.
They became good friends.
Good friends, a fantastic duo.
They write together.
They write, they do
like sing together.
300 gigs a year. They just opened for Air Supply. They have new record coming. And they're amazing. Amazing. I'm so excited.
Well, oh, obviously. And so are we. And so are the fans on Facebook, I can tell. And Instagram and Twitter. I should let you all know that... Annika Paris, stop saying your name wrong. You're messing me up. Sorry. Annika Paris music, they'll remember it, you know, it'll be more memorable.
It will be.
Sorry. Annika Paris music, that's her website. Annika Paris music, I'll spell that AnnikaParis music.com. That's where you can find all the, oh, there's a DVD in your book.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So in Making Your Mark in Music, Stage Performance Secrets Behind the Scenes of Artist Development, you'll find the book and DVD, which is included at AnnikaParisMusic.com. You'll also find Woven Voices. You know, that's interesting. I don't know if we'll have time for that, but this looks really cool. And then this looks like a Bible you've written here.
Well, there's four other authors in that book.
And there are four other authors, and it's on the...
Those are like the Gospels?
Hal Leonard. Yes, four authors. Very good. Five-star music maker.
Yeah, we do the voice, the songs, the recording studio, the publishing side of it and how to market yourself. It's all five disciplines.
And you can find links to that actually on our web pages as well, but at AnnikaParisMusic.com. We'll be right back with more of Annika and a little bit later, Everett Coast here on The Life Changes Show live after this.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We're back. I'm Filippo sitting here with Mark, and our guest here is Annika Paris. We've been talking about music and life and making our mark and knowing who we are. And we talked about social responsibility. I want to get to that. But before that, you earlier said something about, you know, just unplugging. And you said there's some exercises. What are some other exercises? Okay, because I think this is important in this day and age.
It's just fun.
And probably the hardest thing. Maybe it's fun, but at the same time could be the hardest thing for some people.
It is hard. So there's exercises in the book where I have students have to really examine each sense, sight, smell, sound, touch, and taste. And when doing that, you have to go out, observe, like I said before, but observe everything from the top of the roof to the gutter on the floor, to sound, sitting quietly and listening to the difference between an organic sound and a man-made sound. And you try to differentiate those two. And then touch, really, like when you brush your teeth and when you take a shower, feel it, like really experience it and be in the moment as much as possible. And taste is the most fun, obviously, because you get to eat food and write about what that experience is like. I mean, why do we dance when we eat chocolate?
I've never danced when I
you
eat
don't
chocolate.
You don't no. kind
all
of like
the time.
Mark, don't you don't
absolutely.
You don't you wait did you,
you
get excited
dance when you eat chocolate?
Yeah, I get excited and I'm like, yeah, you know, like a little kid when you had ice cream, you know, something like that.
You will not eat chocolate without dancing from here forward.
I don't know, but
we're gonna have
try.
To try it.
I'll give it a try. Yeah,
we'll
yeah.
try it, Filippo. But then you take all these different things that you write about an experience and you look at it, and you can very often find material for a song. I wrote a song called Chocolate and Wine.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, and this is called like Raising Your Antenna?
Raising Your Antenna.
Yeah.
Yeah. You go out and you collect information. Even go sit on a bus bench and listen to people and what they're, you know, observe them. What are they going through? Go in a coffee shop. I like to eavesdrop on people's conversations. I got some of the greatest lines from people arguing.
Wow.
You know, I mean, there's signals everywhere is the point, you know, and being present and unplugging. These are things that you can do that end up being a material for you to write because you're observing.
And speaking of material for you to write, I know you're working on a new album.
I am.
And is there social responsibility? What is your version of social responsibility in your new album?
Wow. Well, first of all, I'm writing it with my writing partner, Dean Landon, and we just signed a contract. I'm so excited.
Congrats.
Thank you. We're writing for film and television. So funny enough, we do have stuff that's political. We have a song called Freedom, which is really about, you know, crossing the border lines and unifying. And then we have songs that are just about the weekend and having a nice time. Songs about unplugging. We have a song called Take It Easy on My Mind, which is funny.
Oh, nice.
And then I have another song about Make the World More Beautiful. So really, actually, if we start to read the lyrics, there is a lot there. I don't think it is, but maybe it is.
Yeah, maybe if you dig deep, look inside.
Yeah.
You know, you two could have been the musical guests on the show as well as the guests, but maybe another time.
Well, I love to pass the baton on because these are my favorite guys and they're amazing.
Well, before we pass the baton, and we will talk about them some more again, at AnnikaParisMusic.com. Is that where the new CD is going to be available, or is it just
for
the industry?
It will be available. It's also going to be on iTunes. Yeah.
Oh, okay. And when should
Apple
we look
Music.
For that?
Probably the beginning of 2017. We're five songs deep.
Okay.
Yeah. Then we're going to have a little vacation for the holidays, and then we'll finish the rest.
And then you'll come back. Well, yeah. Very good. So as way of introduction to these gentlemen, so we know that you introduced them, and what was, I mean, how, like, this is like matchmaking here. Like, where did that come from for you?
Well, they're both similar personality types, and they liked similar music. They were great guitar players and singer-songwriters. I mean, just really heartfelt writing. And I thought that they would work well together vocally. Danny's got this really warm tone. Josh has this beautiful, breathy sound. And I thought they would sing well together. And maybe I don't even remember. They'll have to remind me. But I think originally I said, get together and write and you know, see how that turns out. But it was a real symbiotic relationship. It worked out wonderfully. And they actually continued with me outside of school. We had a songwriter circle. And funny enough, we did an exercise where we all put two words. And it's called hit in a hat. Everybody put words in a hat. And the words that they wrote, the song they'll be singing today, were cigarettes and coffee.
Oh. Okay. Huh. I wonder if they dance while they smoke cigarettes or something.
You guys dance when you have chocolate. I bet they do.
What are the classes? Because we actually had somebody write on the website at lifechangesnetwork.com that they wish they could take a class, but they're on the East Coast. So obviously they're going to get the book they said, and that has exercises in it. But if they wanted to take your classes.
Well, I teach at UCLA, and I teach at Musicians Institute in Hollywood, and right. I do lectures at the Grammy. But I do Skype lessons. I do stuff online.
Oh, you do? Yeah. One-on-ones?
Sure.
Oh, okay.
If they want to reach out to me, I'm more than happy to do that.
In your bunny slippers, or do you have to get all dressed up for that?
Bunny slippers. Bunny slippers and chocolate dances. I'm telling you.
Yeah. I'm going to sign up for one of those Skypes just because.
It's an album cover, too, I think.
I'm getting
Let's
hungry.
Let's do a group Skype, chocolate and Annika. There's a song there. I just know it. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Oh,
I know there's
God,
so much
so
more
much
we could talk
fun.
About, but you've given a lot of information.
Okay, good.
A lot for people to chew on, that's for sure. And they can find more at Annika Paris Music.
Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure. Well, stay there because Everett Coast is live in the studio in just a minute or two right after this on the Life Changes Show.
Awesome.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and our guest, Annika Paris, who introduced us to these two gentlemen who have just joined us in the studio. Individually, they're Danny Byrne and Josh Misko, and together they are Everett Coast, singers, songwriters, and dynamic duo. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hello. Thanks for having us. Good to be here.
You know, actually, we were outside getting ready for the show, and somebody was just passing through and said, "Who are those guys? I want to buy their album." So there, you were just rehearsing.
Really cool. Really
just
cool.
Wait till they hear you do. Well, even rehearsing, you guys were great. Were you right? Like, as soon as you guys met, was it like, "Oh, let's do this harmony thing like this," or how did that happen?
It's interesting, actually, because at the time, I moved in with you like a week after we met, right?
Like, yes, that's true.
I think Danny was moving out or something and needed a roommate, and Annika had introduced us for, I think it was a live performance class, and you needed a guitar player, and you called Danny and thought we'd work together well. And we just started writing together, and then how did it happen, really? We just sort of found what was best for both of us.
Yeah, we had after the artist, it was called the Artist Development Showcase.
The Showcase,
She encourages artists to kind of move in with each other.
Basically.
Work on music. Yeah. Like, they get to know it's like a roommate.
Well,
that's raising your antenna.
Yeah. Roommates.
Oh my goodness.
I get like a Simon and Garfunkel thing, like for the new age kind of. Has anybody said that to you before?
Oh yeah,
we've gotten that.
Yeah.
That's every time we hear, man. It's like such a big compliment.
Yeah, we have a hard time accepting it just because they're the greats, you know.
Like,
oh really? So today we're going to accept that.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we accept that? Can we just breathe that in?
Yeah.
I give you permission.
Yeah. There you go. The teacher has spoken.
Right. I like it.
So what was like writing the very first time? I mean, because you guys are going to be so, you know, out there, like already you're busy, 300 performances in a year. So we have this opportunity to talk, like, what's it like writing together? What was like it like the first time you started writing together?
Yeah, right after the showcase, I think what happened? I kind of forgot too.
It's I think I came over to help you move.
Oh,
and then,
yeah,
like,
that's
we were
right.
Hanging out.
It was right after the showcase. Yeah. I was moving out of one place. I know, we're airheads. But
we both like cats, so like we started petting his cat. Not together.
Wow. Okay, so let's sing.
I take no responsibility.
Let's just sing.
Yep, cats and love songs.
Oh, my goodness. No, okay, so... But all right, let's just move forward a little bit of time. Okay, so you've moved in and all. And then now what it's like writing. Is the cat still around?
I mean, the cat's still around. Yes.
The cat's in the cradle.
All right, so basically, when we started writing together, it was like it felt so natural immediately, which is like and Josh was in music school at the time. I had just graduated. And so I'd written with a whole bunch of people, and Annika's always encouraged that. And so right when I left MI, I was writing with so many people. And then I remember meeting up with Josh and writing with him for the first time, and it was natural immediately. And then we talked about that. We were like, oh, wow, that was cool. Let's do it again. Mm-hmm. Let's form a band. Let's play some shows. And then, you know, that was 5 years ago or 6 years ago.
Yeah, it all sort of just turned into it. You know, we kind of just went with it and wrote it, and it – next thing you know, we're sitting here working at the same bar at the time, back when we had day jobs.
Yeah,
and like, next thing you know, like, what's our vibe going to be? Well, I don't know. Sort of fell into it. And then the harmony thing sort of just fell into that
thing
as well.
It's really?
Like, we never really set like parameters, if you will. Like, we never really were like, this is how it's going to happen. We just sort of
And to that,
did
we 100%
it.
Credit Annika, because
we
didn't even know each other. And mm-hmm. We started playing, and it was like, whoa. Cool.
But your
like,
voices
this feels
are so gorgeous
good.
Together.
And, thank you.
And how great that we're all here together.
Oh, yeah.
How it all started. Let's all move in together.
Let's do it.
And just
let's
see what happens. Okay, so what are we... Annika's looking at me like, that's not what I teach. All right, so what are we going to hear first?
So Bad?
Yeah, let's play So Bad.
Wait, what?
Sorry.
They have their own language now, evidently.
Yes. The song is called So Bad.
So Bad, okay.
We thought it would be appropriate because the song you guys were speaking about earlier when we were in a writing class with Annika, the cigarettes and coffee thing, this song came from that. So basically, the hit in the hat, cigarettes and coffee were the words. We took it home and turned it into a song, and little did we expect to love it so much that it was on our last album.
Wow. So one song led to another.
Yeah, pretty much.
And the album is?
That was Liftoff, which we released about a year and a half ago, and we're getting ready to release a new one that we had the honor of doing with a producer named Shel Talmy, which was pretty cool. He produced bands like The Who and The Kinks and David Bowie and stuff, and it's got a really cool old school swag, and we should be releasing that one soon. And
which
the second
Annika
song
Annika is singing on.
Annika is singing on.
Oh,
yes, she is.
Wow. We did it over at Johnny Lee Shell's studio, who's like a 10-time, 11-time Grammy Award-winning engineer. He's so amazing.
And the second song we'll be doing is actually on that record.
Okay, and that record is going to be called?
I believe it's literally called Everett Coast, produced by Shel Talmy.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. In the meantime, So So Bad is on Liftoff?
Yes.
All right. Well, here's Everett Coast live on the Life Changes show performing So So Bad at Studio No.
Ready?
Yeah.
One, two, three, four.
Mama said when I was young that I'd meet girls like you. She never told me about the wild and crazy things you do. Now I'm strung out on your love just like a drug. Like an addict to your loving, and you can keep it coming. I'm sorry, Mom, I'm in too deep and there's no going back. She had me hooked with just one look and now I'm seeing black. You got me strung out on your love just like a drug. Like an addict to your loving, and you can keep it coming. Oh, you take me and play me like a symphony. You're like my cigarettes and coffee bean. Baby, you're my nicotine that's so, so bad. And so everything I need. Oh, you're like Buclico, limousines, cocaine to my Charlie Sheen. So, so bad. Oh, you're so, so bad. You're so, so bad. So grab my hand and run with me, we'll take the world by storm. Each step we take and roll we break just leaves us wanting more. I should know better, but I'm just too young to care. I'm an addict to your loving, and you can keep it coming. Oh, you take me and play me like a symphony. You're like my cigarettes and coffee beans. Baby, you're my nicotine that's so, so bad. And so everything I need. Oh, you're like Buclico, limousines, cocaine to my Charlie Sheen. So, so bad. Oh, you're so, so bad. With every step we take, every rule we break, with each mistake we make. You're like my cigarettes and coffee beans. Baby, you're my nicotine that's so, so bad. And so everything I need. Oh, you're like Buclico, limousines, cocaine to my Charlie Sheen. So, so bad. Oh, you're so, so bad. You're so, so bad. And everything I need. You're so, so bad. You're so, so bad.
Wow. You're so, so good. Man.
That was awesome, man.
It's like velvet.
It's awesome. Like butter.
It's like butter. Butter. Yeah, I mean, they like breathe together and they like you sigh at the same place together. It's like
something I never noticed.
I know. Seriously, so cool. That's Everett Coast and So So Bad off the Liftoff album. Wow. Okay, so one of you was at 4 years old playing piano, guitar, bass, drums,
and
producing and engineering?
Well, not producing and engineering, but I was just playing piano at 4, yeah.
Oh, you were just playing piano at 4?
Producing came at 5.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, wait, why am I seeing piano, guitar, bass?
Maybe I messed it up on the bio.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, so it's just overall. Yeah, in the bio.
Do you play at all?
Oh,
do you play piano and bass?
Yeah, I do all those things now.
Oh, you do all those things.
But at 4, it was only piano.
Oh, at 4, it was only piano.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
What were you doing at 4 at the piano?
Well, it was like, you know, this kind of playing, just one finger.
You're going, so, bam.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And how about you? What were you doing at 4?
Sleeping.
All right. So when did the music bug hit you?
You know, I was 13 or 14, and I had a couple friends. I'm from a really small town called Springville up in the Sierra Nevadas. If any 559 people out there, woo! Anyway.
I should mention Josh is speaking.
Yes, yes.
That was Josh Danny before.
Yes.
And, you know, I was about – I've always been in music as a kid. I mean, my mom said I was singing when I was really little, and I guess I'd, like, walk up to piano players at restaurants and try to sing with them and stuff. Started playing trumpet when I was in, like – fourth grade or something, and didn't really stick with it though because I couldn't keep up with my studies, because at the time the school didn't have two separate classes, so if you're doing art you had to skip your math class, and that's never a good thing. So yeah, when I was about 13, I told my mom I wanted to get a guitar, and I had a couple friends who had been getting guitars, so at first she was like, okay, well, if you still want a guitar 6 months from now, then we'll look into it, because she thought maybe I was just into it because my friends were.
Interesting.
6 months later, still into it, and then she's like, okay, well, we'll buy you a guitar only if you write your own music.
Oh.
So for I don't know how long,
wow.
I kind of just learned with what I liked, and then when I came into music school, I don't know if you remember this, Annika, but you and John Keller were in a room together, and I had told you I had never listened to the Beatles before.
Yes.
And both of them lost their minds.
Did you know what they were, at least?
Oh, of course. Of course.
You just never heard them.
But I just never... Yeah, like Beatles. Like, yeah. But I had never really dove into anyone's catalog, because my mom insisted I work on my own material, which I'm so grateful for, because it, at a young age, developed my artistic brain. So Mom, if you're listening, you're the best.
Wow, shout out to Mom.
Right? But I still remember that Annika and John were like, go home and don't come out of your room until you've listened to every Beatles song.
It was an assignment.
Yeah, it was like,
oh, wow. Yeah. That's an exercise. We could probably all do that. It would be a better world.
Oh, man.
Imagine what the world would be like.
Wow.
Okay, so. All right, so what are we going to hear next? We are going to hear another song, are we?
Oh, yeah. Speaking of John Keller, you mentioned John Keller.
Yeah, so John Keller, actually, I had met him once because he subbed for you once at Musicians Institute, Annika, but all roads lead to Annika. I had met John, who's an incredible songwriter, has had plenty of hits, and actually wrote a mega hit called Love Is by Brian McKnight and Vanessa Williams back in the 90s. But I met him mostly through Danny, because after school, you guys got a really cool writing relationship, right?
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. And then through meeting John more and more through Danny, we all started working together, and I think you were listening to his catalog or something, right?
Yeah, it's like we would just play songs back and forth and stuff, and I think I asked him once, I was like, hey, show me the original demo of Love Is, because it was the demo that he sent to the label, and mm-hmm. and then, you know, has to go through all these different,
and then they made a different
whole
different song, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so he played me the demo, and then he got to playing me some old songs, and he played me this one song called Bye Bye Baby that I just fell in love with at the time. I was like, wow, that's amazing. Who cut that? And nobody had recorded it. He'd written it, like, I don't know, I think probably 20 years ago now,
yeah,
or something like that.
Wow.
But it was only like 5 years later that I was like, you remember that song, Bye Bye Baby? Play that again for me. And then Josh and I started playing it, and then we arranged a version of it,
yeah,
which he loved, and then approved us to record it.
Yeah. Wait, is this what we're going to hear?
Yeah.
Oh, that is so cool.
Yeah. And Shell told me back when we were deciding what songs were going to be on the album, heard it and was like, yes, this has to be on the album.
Yeah.
So it's going to be one of the two new originals, and then we have a couple renditions of some classic 60s songs.
Like a Beatles song?
Actually, no Beatles. but there is a Tim Hardin cover, which is kind of neat.
Cool.
And it was to really own that Simon and Garfunkel vibe. So the album's going to be cool. It's going to have a different twist, but it's going to be really cool.
Well, if it's Everett Coe singing, it's cool. And so here is, what did you say this is called?
It's called Bye Bye Baby.
Bye Bye Baby.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Well, now we know the backstory.
Yeah.
You got it here on the Life Changes Show. And now we're going to hear it live by Everett Coe. Bye Bye Baby.
One, two, three.
Winds of change are surely blowing, about to blow my poor house down. Wish I knew where I was going, just know I won't be hanging around.
living. I watch as you blow it up sky high. Baby, goodbye. Finally heard what you were saying. It's still ringing in my ears. And though you left me a long time ago, I'd do anything to keep you here. It almost killed me when you told me it was over. Now I know that I won't die. Bye bye, baby, baby, goodbye. This is the last tear that I'll cry. Say goodbye to the life we've been living. I watch as you blow it up sky high. I've been walking down my lonesome road. Leads away from home. It's a road that everybody knows. Still you walk it alone. Bye bye, baby, baby, goodbye. This is the last tear that I'll cry. Say goodbye to the life we've been living. I watch as you blow it up sky high. Well, bye bye, baby, baby, goodbye. This is the last tear that I'll cry. Say goodbye to the life we've been living. I watch as you blow it up sky high. Baby, goodbye.
Wow. Everett Coast, Danny Byrne, and Josh Misko. It's official. I'm going to say bye-bye to the life I've been living. I'm going to blow it up sky high, and I'm going to move in with you guys because good things happen.
You got to bring the cats.
Yeah,
that's a prerequisite.
Chocolate.
Need some chocolate. We're going to dance.
And cigarettes. And something good happens happening over there. I don't know if you're in a vortex or what's going
incredible.
On, but absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
It's such a pleasure. And may it not be the last time. Where are you all performing next? Like, can we come
tomorrow,
see you live?
Right?
Tomorrow.
Next big show. Yeah, tomorrow, actually. We're actually right now.
Tomorrow down the street.
Yeah, one of the house bands for the LA Dodgers. And so during the playoffs, they ask us to, be entertainment for about an hour and a half out front. So during the Cubs game tomorrow.
How cool is that?
It's a cool gig.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Everett Coast, you can find them, obviously, at EverettCoast.com and Everett, EverettCoast.com, EverettCoast.com. But of course, you're all over social media.
Yeah.
Right. So
yeah.
And music is on iTunes and
everything.
Spotify, Pandora.
Actually, officially just got on AMI jukeboxes.
Oh,
so
yeah.
At your local bar.
Congrats.
You're in your bars. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Everett Coast. What a pleasure. Look them up or you'll be hearing more of them. And you'll be hearing more of them. Enjoy their music as we have tonight. Thank you so much. Thank you, Danny
Josh.
Thank you both. What a pleasure it was.
Thank you so much.
And it is. And you, Annika, thank you so much just for being and being here as our guest.
Thank you for having me. I had a blast, both of you.
Thank you, Annika.
Thank you. And so with that, I want to give a special thank you and shout out to our engineer here at Studio NoHo. Thank you, Brent Hahn, for helping us all sound so great.
Awesome. Thank you, Brent.
Big thank you to Doug Newsom at BBS Radio, our program manager. And on behalf of Dorothy Donahue, our executive producer, and Mark Legere, our producer, and myself, Filippo Voltaggio, your host, I'm here to remind you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. And visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com. on Facebook at The Life Changes Show and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.